hymn book by which we offer our praises to the Lord. Today we look at Psalm 126. It is known as a song of ascents, a song by which the people would sing as they were on their way to the house of worship, on their way up to that glorious temple in Jerusalem that reminded them that God had come to them and that God would be with them. Hear the word of the Lord from Psalm 126. When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seeds to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. The word of the Lord.
Morning, Milliken. I would like all of us to recite Galatians 5, verse 22 to 23. We have been reciting this for weeks now, and I'm sure you know it by now. Let us read together. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things there is no law. Let's try to recite it from memory without looking at the PowerPoint. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things, there is no law. And indeed, today we'll be looking at joy, and there is no law against joy. And I would like to introduce you guys to one of my friends here. This, to you, is a ball, right? It's a soccer ball. But to me, it's more than that. It's one of my joys in my life. And I grew up with a ball to my feet. And I've grew up playing soccer all my life. As I can remember, in Africa, on the streets of Africa, on the fields of Africa, I would play soccer with friends. And I remember as well in high school, on a provincial level, I had an opportunity to compete at that level with other people for my town and for my school. And I also had good experiences while playing soccer. I also had bad experiences. I can remember some of the bad experiences that I've had talking back to the ref, which is a no-no. You get a yellow card at times. In certain circumstances, you get a red card. I remember talking back to my coach. We disagreed over something. I can remember playing dirty with other players. I remember cursing the words here, coming flying out here and there, but I also remember the good times scoring a goal for my team, doing tricks, enjoying just the moment of playing the game together with my friends, and through it all, the good and the bad, I still had that joy of the game, and most of you have certain things in your lives that bring you joy. Maybe it's not a soccer ball. Maybe it is teaching. Maybe it is a basketball that brings you joy. Maybe it's running on a hot day outside. Some people just love running on a hot day outside and sweating, and all that sweat, it just tells them, it's like, yeah, you're progressing. Some of us love writing. We get joy from writing. Poetry, spoken word, you name it. There's some things in our lives that enrich our lives and bring joy to us. And so this morning, when we look at joy, and every time when we think about joy, we never think of joy outside or in a vacuum or outside of our bodily experiences. And so that would mean that not thinking of joy outside of the conditions of our bodily existence. For example, when you get a raise at work, you light up, right? It lights you up. You become joyful. You do your favorite activity. You become joyful. Somebody compliments you at work. Your mood changes. You become joyful. So we never think of joy outside of these conditions of our bodily existence. And conversely, unfortunately, at times it's easy for us to let the hardships that we experience in our lives to affect our joy. And so we can worry about certain situation that's bothering us and that kills our joy within. And so any change in our bodily existence will either affect us positively or negatively. And so we have no understanding of what pure joy is, pure joy which is unconditioned by our bodily existence. That is why sometimes it's easy for us to allow our losses, our defeats, to affect our joy and then exist in this unjoyful state for months, maybe for days, weeks, to the extent where the unjoyful state becomes the mood through which we not only view the world, but also experience it. And so some of us this morning are experiencing joy. Some of us this morning perhaps are not experiencing joy. And so the question that I would like to ask to all of us is, are we truly happy in the Lord this morning? Are we joyful this morning? Are we joyful during the week when we experience life from every day to day? Do we express the joy of the Lord to our neighbors, to our family, even to ourselves? Perhaps sometimes we've been in this race, this Christian race, for far too long, and it has become a routine. And so we fail to maintain joy or even have joy. Or perhaps you've been praying for months, for days, for the promises of God to come. God has promised you something. And you're praying, you're looking, you're searching for that promise to come. And the weight is burdening you. In our culture, we like things to come very quickly. You know, microwave ready. We want things to be microwave ready. But the weight for the promises of God, that weight is burdening you. And so you struggle to have joy while you wait. Are we truly joyful this morning? I would like us to look at the passage, Psalm 126. And this passage, it is a song, as Pastor George pointed out. It's a song of ascent. And the Israelites, they used to sing these songs as they go up to Jerusalem. Zion, that's where they called. That's where the temple was. That's where God dwelt. And so during three festivals of the year, the pilgrims would all march up to Zion, ready to praise God. And on their way, they would sing these songs. And this psalm is birthed out of the experiences surrounding the Babylonian captivity. And so before I go through the verse, I would like us to first, I want you guys to get a feel of what the Israelites felt when the Babylonians, they came and they plundered Jerusalem. They took over Jerusalem and took everything that they owned, and they took them captive. If you look at Psalm 137, it's a favorite psalm. It says, "By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars we hung our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And then verse 4 says, how can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? They were devastated when the Babylonians came and took over. And when they were captives, when they were enslaved by the Babylonians asked them, Why can't you sing the songs that you used to sing back home? What happened? You know, sing one of those joyful songs. They're taunting them, in other words. Sing one of those joyful songs that you used to sing to your God. Where is your God now? Right? You are a slave now to us. Where is your God? Sing those songs. And they were like, no, how can we sing the songs that we used to sing to God in a foreign land while we were captive? And so, now we turn to Psalm 126, which is our song. Verse 1, it says, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion. The word restored, the Hebrew word, which is translated in our English translation as restored, it's shuvah, and that word, it means repent. And so the right translation here would be, when the Lord turned to the captives, the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dreamt. That means, you know, when we repent, we're facing something, and then we repent from that thing that used to keep us in bondage, and we turn to God who frees us from that bondage. In that like manner, that's what God did. They're singing. God turned to us. And when he turned to us, he overturned the conditions that kept us enslaved against the Babylons, right? And so when God turned to us, when we were not met by his silence, and he heard our cries, and when he turned to us, he overturned those conditions that kept us in bondage. And when that happened, we were flabbergasted. It says we were like those who dreamed. They could not believe it. And so when God overturned and brought them back to Zion, not only did they bring the things that the Babylonians stole, but they also brought themselves to Zion. And Zion at that time was in ruins. And when they came back home, how did God restore the fortunes of Zion? It is by bringing his people back to Zion for them to rebuild Jerusalem again, for them to rebuild the temple again, the temple in which they praise God with joy. And when they rebuilt the temple, Zion became a spiritual symbol. It carried a spiritual significance. And when they rebuilt it, they were able to praise God in their home again. And so their harps weren't hung. They were being used. The Ark of the Covenant is there in the temple again. And they're praising God. That's how God redeemed. That's how God restored Zion. And when he did that, they could not believe it. Verse 2, it says, our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. And then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The proposition there, for, in Hebrew, it can be translated with. So it's not only, they're not only being passive when God acts upon them, when God restores them back to Zion, but they're also active in the sense that when they're being brought to Zion, they're rebuilding Zion. And so there's that participation that's happening in their own restoration. Right? And so it's not only an act that God does for them on behalf of them, but they also participate in their own restoration. And so it can be translated, the nations, when they looked at what was going on in Zion, when God brought his people back and they rebuilt the temple and they rebuilt the their capital city back, it can be translated as, the Lord has done great things for and with them. And so sometimes in our lives, God does certain things in our lives, and he does great things, and we experience breakthroughs, right? And when we experience those victories and breakthroughs, we're joyful, right? And we're joyful. We cannot believe that God has rescued us from this particular situation. I had a friend in my undergrad. He had a rough background. He struggled with drugs and that whole life, right? And when God brought him back, he was a changed man, and he was always happy, and he was always happy every day. And that kind of annoyed me. It's like, man, does this person ever get mad? He's always happy all the time, right? And part of it, when you look at him smiling every day, you're like, man, okay, like, I see what's going on. I see what he has. I'm kind of jealous of what he has, and I want that. And the nations, when they saw what God was doing for and with the Israelites, they looked at it and said, wow, God has done great things. And in our lives, when God does things in our lives, people around us, they look. They can tell by how you carry yourself. They can tell by your facial expression, right? And when you are joyful, they see, it's like, what's going on? There's something different. There's a change in your life. What is it? And then you respond, God has done great things for me. You would not believe it. And so people, nations, people who do not even worship God, they recognize the great deed that God is doing, the great deed that God does for and with you. And it is the same thing that happened when the Israelites were singing, saying, look, the nations, the surrounding nations around us, they can tell that there's a new beginning happening, right? God is doing great things among us, and they can tell. And the verse continues, verse 3, it says, yes, the Lord has done great things for us, and we're filled with joy. And verse 4, it says, restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. So half of the Jews were restored. They were brought back to Zion. The remaining half, they were still coming. And so Negev, it means south. And south, there was a riverbed in the southern region of Judah. And during dry season, it would be really dry. But during raining season, there will be a torrent that goes through that channel violently, and anything in the way is moved by it. And so what it's saying here, it's saying, God, bring back those other Israelites who are coming violently, rushing back to Zion like those torrents in the Negev, those torrents in the channel in the southern region of Judah. It says, those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. In other words, those who work with tears, this is an agricultural culture, and so they would use words like soul, right? Those who work in tears, they will reap the benefits with songs of joy. Those who are waiting for God's promises while weeping, not knowing when God will bring back the fruit, when God's promises will show. Those who are weeping temporary in this moment, they will reap with songs of joy. Even though they're weeping right now, right? The promises are coming. Verse 6, those who go out weeping, again, it continues, those who weep, who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy. And in Hebrew, it can also be translated as cries of joy. You will reap with cries of joy. That happens in our lives. And in my life too, when I look back on some of the things God has redeemed me from, how God has brought me to this point, and I'm sure you guys reflect on some of the things God has redeemed you from, some of the things God has blessed you with. And when you look back, sometimes you cry tears of joy. You're like, I cannot believe that God has blessed me with this thing that I'm experiencing, with this reward, right? And that's what's happening here. The Israelites are singing to God, and they're testifying that though you weep right now in the present, in the moment, right now, in this moment, there's a reward that's coming in the next, right? There's a reward that's coming in the next. And some of us are crushed in the spirit because of the certain circumstances in our lives, certain setbacks in our lives. We're crushed in the spirit. And we're dry, we're running dry, and we're waiting and hoping for some rain to rain down so that we can feel alive again, so we can experience joy again. And the Apostle Paul tells us, though the waiting is painful. Remember, the Apostle Paul, he was chained for the gospel, and yet he rejoiced in his trials and tribulation. He rejoiced. Because why? Because the risen Lord was his future, right? The pain in the moment may be very painful, but the reward, the freedom, will be much more, and it will outweigh the pain in the present. And so those who work with tears, they will reap the benefit with cries of joy. Proverbs says that a joyful heart is a medicine to the soul, right? It's a medicine to the soul. An unjoyful heart, an unjoyful state dries up the bones. Are you crushed in the spirit this morning? The Lord wants to remind us, wants to challenge us from this passage, that to get from shedding tears, to get from showing tears to reaping with songs of joy, the bridge between is, the gap between is bridged with trust. And so when you trust in the Lord while you wait for his promises, though the wait is painful, if you put your trust in God, what you do in that moment is you go against the conditions in our physical existence that affect our joy. And so he's challenging all of us. At times, our attitudes, they affect us. At times, situations in our lives, they kill that joy within. And he's challenging us, though the present will be tough, trust in me. Trust in me. And I will bless you. Wait for my promises. Wait, and you will be renewed as you wait. And so the trust bridges the gap. So how do you go from shedding tears to reaping with joy, from Egypt to Exodus? It's by trusting that your redemption is coming, that the promise is coming. When Moses was called by God to go and free the people, his people who were enslaved in Egypt, right? It says, go to them. I have heard their cries. Go to them and tell them that their God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Isaac, is going to rescue you. And Moses, he asked God, well, if they ask me about your name, what should I tell them? And God says, Ayeh Asher Ayeh. At times we translate that as I am who I am, but the correct translation is I will be what I will be. And so when you go to those people, though you are struggling to speak, I'll give you the words to speak. In that moment, I will be your mouthpiece. When you rescue the people from Egypt and they undergo the Exodus and they experience freedom, redemption, I will be their redemption in that moment. When they get fed by manna, I will be their provider. And so in this moment, though you are waiting for God's promises, what God promised to the people of Israel when he said, I will be what I will be, he promised them his continued presence. And God promises you his continued presence, that though the dark night of the soul is overwhelming you now, my presence is with you. My presence is with you, and I will redeem you. I will be your redemption. I will be your joy when you experience the redemption, when you reap with songs of joy. I will be your joy. Some of us here might be like, well, Axel, what are you talking about? I have the joy in the Lord. You know, didn't you see me? During worship, I was dancing, doing my two steps, you know. That saves you, by the way, at weddings and the two steps. It's a classic move. But if you're one of those people with the joy within you, I want to encourage you to continue to nourish that joy. Continue to share your joy with people around you. Continue to share what God is doing in your life. And so when you do that, right, you draw other people who are also looking for that joy, and you are helping them to also find joy. Be evangelical about it. Share, sing your song from the mountaintops, from the rooftops. Sing your song. Sing what God is doing in your life, so that you can encourage someone else who is looking for a word of encouragement from the Lord. Right? Continue. Sing. Help your brothers and sisters in the Lord to also experience. That's what community, is, right? Where love is shared, there should be a time and moment where you also share what God is doing in your life. You share the joy that you are experiencing. And so where there is joy, hope is nourished and fortified. And so this morning, I want to give an opportunity to maybe five or six people who would like to share with us some of what God is doing in your life. Share a testimony of what God is doing in your life. Share your joy. If you're one of them, there is a mic here, and I would like to give that opportunity to some of you here who would like to share their joy with everyone else.
I certainly want to share my joy. My heart is just filled with joy. And I think the problem with a lot of people is they look for the big things to happen before they rejoice. But I thank God for the dozens of little things that happen to me every day. For example, this morning I woke up and put my shirt on, and I almost cried, because people my age would have to call their daughter to ask them to help them. And I said, Lord, I put my shirt on. Isn't that wonderful? I thank you so much. I thank God for that. Mm-hmm. Another thing I thanked him for, the other night I woke up and realized my heart has been beating for 94 years without stopping. I was amazed. I don't even try to keep my heart going, but it's going all the time. And I thanked him for that. I rejoice. And this morning we came in here. I'm sure many of you don't even realize you're breathing. But you've been breathing ever since you came in here without stopping. If you stop, you'd be dead. But you're breathing, so thank the Lord for it. So I rejoice on all these little things. It's amazing what Christ can do. And of course, he does the big things for me. And I thank him for all of this. In him I live and move and have my being. And he told me, you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And I told him, one river is enough for me. But I have many rivers. God bless you and keep looking up.
Amen, 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 amen. Anyone else who would like to share?
Thank you. Well, there is much I'd like to share, but I think what makes me the happiest at this time is when Don and I, when we go into a nursing home, and sometimes we go on a Wednesday, and on a Tuesday night, sometimes I'm tired. And I'm thinking, I don't know if we should go today. But when I wake up in the morning, I am so joyful. You spoke of joy, and I experience such joy when we walk into that home. We started off with one person, and now we have 25, and they're all prepared. Volunteers and the staff have them sitting there, and we walk in and they're helpless, and we put on our reggae music with our you know, when the roll is called up yonder. Steve has been with us, and it's good having him, but we play When the Roll is Called Up Yonder, and those songs in reggae, because if we don't start in reggae, they will not participate. And so, you know, I run around and we hold their hands and they move and we do funny movements and for therapeutic purposes. And it's just a joy seeing them laughing and participating. And last week when we were leaving, two of them were crying. Like, one would not stop crying. She did not want us to leave. So that is just a joy going there, and God has blessed us, because, you know, at our age, and we will get up and we drive there, and sometimes when we were sitting there, I said, Don, let's get up, because they'll think we're one of them. And so, but it's really a good time, and another blessing that I have, and I thank God every day, is for Don. because I think God really put us together, and we are happy together, and, you know, we take care. It's his birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday.
And he said something that I was touched, and I don't think it's true, but he said, "You look after me like I'm a little baby." And but, you know, I think he looks after me like I'm a little baby. And, you know, so I do love everyone here. Mm. I love God more than anyone else. Mm. And it's nice sharing. And thank you. And God bless you all.
Anyone else? Yes, Cynthia?
Hi, about 2 weeks ago, I have a niece. Her name is Naomi. He's a very healthy girl, and I think he's very smart. 2 days ago, I visited her. I talked to her, say, "Oh, your aunt is a very poor person." And he just say, he looked like, "No, I understand. I will take care of you." It's very ideal. So I just know I love her so much. That is a very joyful thing. And I know she will be very thoughtful girl. And another thing is, you know, my mom, because we have financial problems, so my mom, basically, she have to stay in Taiwan, so only every summer our Chinese New Year will see us. So each time when we have a dinner or lunch, just few times, but make me very happy because I knew I have to enjoy each time we talk, not much, just something my mom just say, "Oh, take care of yourself," kind of that, but make me feel I do have family. Even most time I was alone, I will keep remember those happy days forever. And also church always helped me, and Pastor George always listened to hear what I say, those silly words. Sorry, I will try to not say those words, but anyway, thank you. And many friends also talk to me, so I know I should be joyful. Yeah, I will pray. Anyway, I pray for you every day if I was at home. Okay, take care of yourself.
Amen, amen, amen. Anyone?
I wasn't going to say anything, but as I was sitting here just thinking about my day yesterday, I'll tell you a little bit about it. Jason and I and Natasha, we sometimes get together and we go bike riding. We like to bike ride, you know, around. And yesterday was a particularly wonderful, wonderful day. On my list of things to do, one of the things I wanted to do this summer with Natasha and Jason is bike ride along the Ajax waterfront. If anyone lives in Ajax and knows about the waterfront, it's really, really beautiful. It's beautiful. It runs along the lake, along Lake Ontario. And so yesterday we decided, okay, we're going to do it. I had a bike rack. I've never used it, and Natasha's just full of skills in putting the bike on the car, and she did it, and we had success. And so we rode down there, and we rode, and we rode, and we rode. And we looked around, and we saw the trees, and we saw the lake, and we said to ourselves, wow. And we stopped from time to time because we had to eat. And we looked at the, because we were hungry, so we packed some snacks. It was just the most beautiful day. It wasn't hot, it wasn't too cold, the breeze was beautiful. And the thing about it was, which was wonderful, was that we looked around, and we saw all of these people enjoying the day. We saw people bike riding, we saw families, we saw older people who had just brought their chairs and found a nice tree to sit under, and they were just there. Some of them were reading, some of them were praying. It was a beautiful, beautiful day. And at some point we stopped and we looked and we thought, you know something? Look at this lake. Look at this lake. This lake, if you pull out a map of the earth, of the universe, of the globe that we live on, this lake is a drop in the bucket. It's a little small lake. And we marveled at how big and marvelous and great this earth is. And to think that we are one planet in a solar system of many, And we marveled at how big and how marvelous our God is. And we talked about how little we have to worry about. We sit and we worry about things. We talked a little bit about it, and we thought, God, you are a great and mighty and powerful God. We look at your lake, and it's a drop in the bucket. We felt the beautiful wind on our skin yesterday. It was just a lovely day. We rode, we got tired, we stopped, we ate, we kept going, we rode to the other end, we stopped, we got tired. It was a beautiful day. So all of that to say that we're talking about joy this morning, and we felt the joy of the Lord yesterday because we looked around and we saw a little bit of his marvelous creation, and it reminded us and gave us joy that, you know what, he sees us. This whole world is so beautiful and creative, and he made it in such detail and creativity. Mm-hmm. And what do we have to worry about? He's looking after us. Just like he puts the stars in the sky, just like he puts the trees that we saw yesterday, just like he gave us the cool breeze that all the people under the trees felt, we had such joy. Mm-hmm. So let us be reminded that we can have joy. Because God cares for us. He made this big, marvelous world. And what a beautiful day. The thing is, one of my friends said to me, I won't keep going, I'm almost finished. But one of my friends said to me, she said to me, you know something, Susie? And sometimes I talk about it because it may seem a bit odd. You know, God puts the sun in the sky every morning. And don't we take it for granted that he does? We expect the sun to rise, but he puts it in the sky. Mm. What a mighty God we serve. We have no reason to not be joyful.
Amen. 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 Yes.
Ever since I was a kid, I didn't know the Lord at first, but when I started going to the youth group, I made friends here. Mm. They taught me everything. And when Pastor Andy was here, he taught me everything about the Lord. And through the Lord, I developed the liking for the color blue, and every other, because I know there's a lot of colors in the world. God gave us every color in the universe. Thus, mine is blue. I forget. Ever since I started getting into blue, I studied about it. It's the color of peace, justice, and spirit, and joy, inner light, and the will of God. And so forth. Mm-hmm. It's given, ever since I've meditated on it and prayed about it, it's kept, made me peaceful and calm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
And give me an inner light. And to know that God created the color blue for everything. Mm-hmm. Like the sky and water, bluebells and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And he gave me a color that I like.
Amen.
Which is blue.
Amen.
And since then I wore it a lot.
Mm-hmm. And I see attached. That. Awesome.
And it's also a power. Mm. Yeah. So anyway, I thank God for giving me this color.
Amen. Well, amen.
Anyway.
Thanks for sharing. Thanks. Thanks. Alan.
My favorite thing, favorite emotion is joy. It's not more than, it helps symbolizes our emotions. Like, every day when I see people praying, it brings me joy to the world. Or when the Lord helps other people, it brings other people joy too. So that's why joy is one of the most important things that we have in life. And which never will leave us. And that's why I think joy is one of the most important things that we need. Thank you.
Anyone else? One more person? Yes.
Just a short note, yeah, Mike Strong. Joy is a choice that we have. And it was so nice to everybody speak. And I'd just like to thank the Lord for the joy that he has given me and the ability to choose to be joyful. Mm-hmm. I can be miserable if I want to be, but I choose to be joyful. And sometimes it's a bit of a struggle. But I'd like to thank the Lord for my family that is visiting. They bring me joy. And for my little granddaughter. And I'd just like to augment what Pastor Taylor said. Praise the Lord and thank you, Jesus.
Amen. 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 This is great. And we need more of this in the community, where we can build each other up and encourage each other up with what God is doing in our lives. I would like to invite the band to come up. And as they're coming up, let us pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this fellowship, God. Thank you for your word. And Father, we pray that you continue, God, to nourish us in our faith, to nourish us in our joy. And we pray, God, that you continue to build us up. And we pray that you spur us on to help other people as well who are looking for joy, who are crushed in the spirit. Father, we pray that you help us to be attentive to what is going on in other people's lives, God, so that we can encourage and build your kingdom, God. And so, Father, we pray that in these coming weeks, Father, we pray that we'll be watchful of our thoughts and everything else that's going on in our world. And, Father, that we pray that we'll continue to keep our joy and not let circumstances to determine or kill our joy in you, God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.